When you think about some of the most stressful times, it's typically tied to finances. When you're having tough times at home, a lot of times it's tied to finances. And I know of at least personally for me, when I've had financial trouble, it's hard to let that go at work. It's hard to be the, not everyone can just compartmentalize and be like, okay, I'm at work now, I'm not going to think about finances. It's just, it's in your head.
Welcome to our podcast, It's About Payroll. We're your hosts, Brian Escobar and Walter William Duncan III. Whether you're new to the payroll game or a seasoned veteran, we have something for you. Welcome back, folks. It's episode 106, Earned Wage Access, we're talking about today. And we have two guests coming on. But before we get into that, how you doing, sir? How you doing, Walter William Duncan III?
I'm good, Mr. Escobar. How about yourself, man? Happy March 24th to you. This is your birthday month. You still celebrating?
Or just still, you know, it's my, actually my mom's just passed, so we were celebrating my mom's more recently.
Oh, happy birthday to her.
I'll let her know. And like, yeah, man, so it's a cool month. I know a bunch of folks in March, so March is a cool month, birthdays, and then shoot, you coming up in May, so we'll do it again in May. My little one's in May also. So yeah, man, it's starting the spring summer celebration off early.
It's good times, man. Good weather.
Yeah. How's the weather over there right now?
Weather. Here, it just snowed the other day, so.
Yes. I saw you on one of your posts with a hoodie and a jacket. I was like, damn, it's me cold over
there. Yeah, man. It snowed like Friday, Saturday.
And again, okay. Yeah. But is it like getting warm during the day or no?
No, it's like 30, no. 30s. Right now it's 25 degrees.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, my mom said the same thing when she came from New York. She was like, it was 30 degrees, bro. I was like, what? Dang.
Yeah.
And I would imagine you can relate, right? Like being in South Florida, you forget the rest of the country or the northern part of the country is going through seasons and it's cold. Like you can't even fathom. Like, what do you mean it's 2 degrees even, there?
Even in parts of Georgia,
it gets
snow sometimes, even if it doesn't stick. But man.
Agreed, man. I would, and that's the one thing about Georgia. My brother-in-law's in Georgia. Shout out to Los and Kimberly, but I would love to be able to live in Georgia, but they, because of the seasons, right? But there's no heavy Latino culture out there. And if you're listening to this and you're from Georgia and I'm wrong, please correct me, because we have not found coming. Like you would think, well, my brother-in-law is like 10 minutes from Atlanta. So and he's scouting, like he's lived there for a very long time. And he's got to drive like an hour to find Puerto Rican food or Spanish food or whatnot.
I mean,
specifically Puerto Rican. Maybe there's something else closer, the creature of habit. So he likes his Boricua food and whatnot. But there's no heavy Latin culture there. That's the problem for me. Beautiful city, beautiful. Oh, I love the South. I love Georgia. Shout out to GA and AT. Because I do like that change. And we go and visit and it'll be nice and the weather would be nice and get those brisk mornings.
That's it. It's interesting that you say that, right? Because according to the census data, the one I just pulled up and I did that for it, only 10% of Georgia's population is Latino.
You see the whole state?
Yeah.
You see that? And I'm only talking about, that's 10%. Yeah. That means it's three people in every town. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And five of them is fam. His family.
You are related to all of them.
I might be related to all of them. Exactly. Oh, man. Yeah. All right. Let's get into these pay updates before we waste all our time here.
Yes, sir, sir.
Before our guests jump on, we want to get into our pay updates. Oh, mine's is up first. All righty then. Mine is about a company called Finally, because I'm going to say Finally in this update a few times so people don't get confused. The company's called Finally, and in my news update, we're diving into a groundbreaking story that's buzzing in the fintech world. It's all about a company called Finally and how they're transforming the financial landscape for small and medium-sized businesses with their AI-powered suite. Founded in January of 2018, so really a young company, Finally started with a mission to automate accounting and finance for small businesses. Originating from the prestigious 500 Startups venture capital firm, that's also the name of it. It's not five, not these crazy names mess us up, man. The name of the venture capital firm is 500 Startups, and they've grown rapidly, now serving 1,500 businesses across the US. But what makes it, what makes Finally stand out in a crowded fintech space is their holistic approach, integrating bookkeeping, expense management, bill payment, and yes, you know it, payroll, into one of their seamless automated solutions, or into one seamless automated solution rather. Finally has just secured a whopping $10 million in new capital to fuel their growth. But it's not just about the numbers. It's what this means for the future of small business finance. Finally plans to use this investment to expand their offerings, including rolling out mobile versions of their app and scaling their go-to-market strategy. This is huge for small businesses looking for a comprehensive all-in-one financial solution. Because that's where we're trending, right? We come from a world where we had to build a tech stack. But now these companies are consolidating it all. They're trying to make it all in one. Think Super Walmart, right? You could go in Super Walmart and you can get a new wardrobe, you can get groceries, you use everything you can in one stop. Or Targets, whatever. Looking ahead, Finally is not just resting on their laurels with plans to further scale their product offerings and expand their teams. Finally is on a mission to become a one-stop shop for small businesses finance solution. Their partnership with giants like Visa, Bancorp, and Thread Bank only cements their position as a leader in this space. And with the fintech industry evolving rapidly, Finally's approach to combining innovative technology with essential financial services is a game changer. It's clear that Finally is a company on the move, and their recent $10 million raise is just the beginning. So for small businesses, and really small and mid-sized businesses, the promise of a more streamlined, efficient way to handle finances is incredibly enticing. As we watch Finally continue to grow and innovate, it's exciting to think how they will shape the future of fintech. Nice, that man. Is my story, sir. Thank you. And now a word from our sponsor, TimeTrack Go. To celebrate Small Business Month, TimeTrack Go is offering you a chance to experience the power of their time clock software completely free for the first month. The simply better employee time clock software that is going to make your life easier. TimeTrack Go already has a unique graphical employee time card, and that will help you quickly identify and fix the mistakes.
TimeTrack Go just announced the addition of automatic PTO accrual earnings, so you can say goodbye to those manual calculations. And TimeTrack Go integrates with your favorite payroll systems, including QuickBooks, Gusto, ADP Workforce Now, Paychex, and more. Don't miss out. Take advantage of this special offer. Use the link in this post to start your 14-day trial in the month of May to qualify for your first month free. Let's go.
Let's go.
Thank you for that, Brian. Mine is short and sweet. Something that I shared with Brian when I first saw it on on ESPN. I also saw it on, I saw somebody else share it on LinkedIn. And yep. I sent that to Brian and said, hey, look, yeah, people are paying attention to this stuff. It's an ESPN.com story. It's about a payroll error from 2022 that cost the 49ers a pick in 2025 and also cost them to be lowered in round number 4 of this year's current draft. So what happened is that they basically understated or overstated. There was a incorrect amount of money for the cap that they had. They still would have been under the cap, but they wouldn't have had as much money as they said based on this person's payroll error, right? So some money wasn't included in the count for the cap. And so I wasn't aware that you had to be aware of that from a payroll standpoint. maybe that's how they're structured in San Francisco at the Niners organization. Great team, and it went to a couple of Super Bowls here recently. So it's a well-oiled organization. But this even shows you that even at those organizations, these things can happen and these mistakes can happen. And so I just wanted to point out two things here, right? The payroll error, the payroll error occurred in 2022, but it's having impact now in 2024 and well in 2025, right?
Yeah.
And then, so the tip for the payroll pros, and I don't know if you agree with me on this, Brian, but don't assume that a past payroll mistake won't have future repercussions.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Can I chime in yet?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Because I have a few questions. I'm wondering, like, because the way they make it seem is like the 49ers kind of offered this up as a solution instead of the NFL kind of penalizing. Like, I'm reading through the article and I'm like, it just sounds like they volunteered that as the correction, which is weird because, like, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just pay a penalty instead of sacrificing a draft pick? So I'm going to keep reading through it, but I'm assuming it's framing it like the 49ers, you know, offered that as a correction.
I think maybe they worked in tandem, because if you read a little bit more, the NFL was actually the ones who did the review. The league actually did the review of their accounting or their books, right? And so the NFL discovered that and probably said, hey, you still would have been under the cap anyway, but we have to penalize you because you underreported your wages or whatever, or your caps. Yeah, it probably was a collaborative thing.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's tough, man. And then your tip, I agree with the tip. It makes me think of my oldest brother used to tell me, the decisions we make now have repercussions in the future. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's true. Yeah, I mean, look, it speaks to why auditing is so important. And not only auditing, proactively auditing. It speaks to building good SOP, standard operating procedures. Right. Mm-hmm. And documentation and just being proactive with these things. If it wasn't on the list before, it definitely is on that checklist now. And like I say to folks, compliance is always the hottest topic when it comes to an HR professional, payroll professional. It's like, how do you keep on compliance? And how do you know what to audit? There are some baseline things to do, but you also have to let the company's pain points drive what you put on your auditing list. And if you don't know what they are yet, then you don't know. You just don't know what you don't know, especially when you're walking in new as a new professional. It makes me think also of, if you come into a new situation, it's going to take a year to 2 years to really go through all the seasonality of that business, all the cycles that you have to endure and learn about before you can say, I think I got it all. What's up? You thinking about something?
Yeah, I remember that stat. I don't know if it was this show or it's about your paycheck, but we were talking about high performers, right? And having to replace those people. And you reminded me when you said it may take a year or two, because that's the same thing that one of those stats said, that it can take up to 2 years for someone to get acclimated to a role a previous person who may have been a high performer was doing. So
that's right.
That's what came to mind when you said that.
It aligns so well, right? It all makes sense. And that's what I love about what we do. We're putting these pieces of the puzzle together, hopefully for folks. I know I'm doing it for us, right? We like, oh, wow, dang, like all the dots are connecting, all the pieces of the puzzle are falling into place. And we're learning how to see it from a broader view. Right. Because we're so in the weeds sometimes, you're so entrenched with the day to day that you're like, you don't know. Right. You can't pull out and see it from a bigger perspective.
Yeah. And then going back to what my tip was, like, realizing that, hey, even something that was done in the past can have impact now. Absolutely. A lot of us payroll professionals, even those listening right now, are experiencing that where you may have not been here at the company, but something wasn't filed right with the taxes and you have to deal with it.
Yep.
Even though weren't, you know what I'm saying? You have to correct it. You inherit those problems, right?
Yes.
So
that's a good call out. Yeah. We inherit these issues. I think about Fran Z when she, she's all her best practice. Like she was still dealing with things.
Fran?
Yeah. And I shout out to Fran. We were just talking the other day, so I'm definitely going to keep a beat on her. Melissa reached out. Shout out to Melissa. And these are all great professionals that we love to have back on the show. Basically, if you don't know, check out prior episodes. Find out. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Yes, sir. So, yeah, man, it makes me think about all these things that we have to go through as professionals to stay compliant. Because that's not, you're not going to find that in any compliant best practice, right? That's a NFL compliant best practice, right? Yes. It gets industry specific, and then it gets granular because it can get company specific. It could even get departmental specific.
Think about it. They're in California, so who knows? Oof. They may have different things they have to
worry about. They're in San Francisco on top. Yep.
Yeah, so they have to worry about way different things than probably a lot of other NFL organizations have to, right?
Yep. And I say San Francisco like that. I say it emphatically because San Francisco is not it. They're not only in California, which is employee-centric. San Francisco is an employee-centric city. And they also impose more rules. We're going to, on our other show, on the It's About Your Paycheck show, we're about to go through all those state-by-state things. And we were just reviewing some stuff. And Cali has minimum wages by city, town. It's not just a state one. They have it. Every city has its own minimum wage. So it's, again, these granular things that we may not think about, right? So. Look how this one little article, it just spurs so much to do, to talk about, oh my gosh, best practice. Yeah, and I really like folks to really take that away. The best practice, again, it happens at the payroll level, the state level, the industry level, the company level. It could even be person level. If somebody, again, one person does something that throws off the whole deal, then it's, oh wait, now we got to look for that. You know what I mean? Yes, very good article for pay. Yeah, of course. This was ringing in payroll, in our payroll world since it came out. And of course, because the 49ers are a big name. They were just in the Super Bowl, right? And that's going to hit trending news right away. So it was definitely something we had to cover whenever payroll is in the news like that. Yeah, man. Good stuff, man. Let's get into it. Let's introduce our guests. We have Chris and Aaron from Payactive. Chris and Aaron from Payactive. And they're going to teach us about earned wage access, pay on demand, these type of tools where folks can get access to their money quicker than payday. So there's a lot of questions around that. And we're going to learn a bit about that. And just to intro these gentlemen, Chris Rivero is an experienced strategic enterprise sales executive and leader with strong interpersonal and communication skills, customer service relationship management, and the sales cycle expertise, proven track record of achieving and exceeding sales targets and building successful partnerships with C-level executives, committed to developing and executing effective sales plans to reach organizational objectives and drive business growth. He's motivated to succeed and resilient in the fast pace of the challenges that we face in the day-to-day of sales and really in payroll. Everything is moving so quick. Yeah. And Walt's going to tell us about Aaron.
Yes. Our other guest, Aaron Martin, is a culture champion. He's an employee advocate and a sales director at Payactive. He is renowned for his expertise in fostering collaborative relationships and driving long-term solutions for stakeholders and customers alike. With a passion for generating innovative ideas and a commitment to collective success, Aaron thrives in team environments. His genuine interest in understanding and supporting others' goals positions him as a valuable ally in unlocking employee potential. Let's welcome our guests, Chris and Aaron.
Welcome, gentlemen. How you guys doing? Aaron and Chris from, I keep saying this wrong, Payactive?
Yeah.
I keep checking. Oh, yes. All right, yeah. Cool. Because there's an active pay out there too, right? So Payactive. And these gentlemen are going to teach us about earned wage access. But before that, give us a little bit about yourself. We'll go in alphabetical order. Aaron, what tell us about yourself. How'd you get into this? Why do you do this?
Yes, that's a good question. First of all, I'm really excited to be here. So thank you both for having us. Yeah, Chris and I were talking about this all week, so we're looking forward to it. But a little bit of background. I'm like most people, I would say 5-6 years ago, I heard about the industry. I heard about earned wage access, but I had some misconceptions, right? I thought, okay, giving people access to their money, they should just be able to manage their finances better in a biweekly or semi-monthly payroll. You should be able to be okay. So I had some misconceptions about the industry, and I started working in earned wage access, and I realized there are a lot of factors that kind of lead to people getting into a debt cycle, right? Almost 70% of Americans living paycheck to paycheck. It's not their fault. And so when I started to learn more about what this benefit can do, it really got me excited. And I started to work with other companies that were offering this benefit and really hearing the impact that it had, not only to the business, but to their employees, people that are struggling, people that needed to pay an unexpected medical bill, or people that needed to put food on the table or pay their mortgages, right? Giving them access to their money. It's not just about the pay. It's about the timing of the pay. And so when I started selling it and I got into this business, I loved it more and more. It's one of these products that I get up and I'm super excited to talk about with people such as yourself, other companies. And I've been doing it for almost 5 years now. So really it's a great industry. It's a growing industry. It's always changing, and that's exciting as well. But just seeing the impact it has companies and employees, to me, it's really what keeps me.
Dope. Awesome. That's awesome. You've been in it since day one then. The earned wage access is older than 5 years?
Yeah, it's been around since, I think, Chris, keep me honest here, we started in 2017.
Oh, wow. Okay. Chris, your turn.
Yeah, thanks, guys. So I started in the payroll HR world, about 18 years ago now, selling payroll and HR services. And then about 4 years ago, got into this earned wage access. And it really spoke to me because, I guess, for a couple different things. One, it was really the first time being a salesperson where I was really providing a benefit or a service that was impacting the American worker. It just wasn't talk. It was really impacting and helping employers and employees. And the other thing that really spoke to me in this industry is, to be vulnerable for a second, I've been one of those people living check to check. I have 4 kids. Yeah. Yep. And even though I might have had good incomes, man, let me tell you, there's been times where it's been like a Wednesday. And my wife and I are like, hey, we got $20. How do we make the stretch? Let's go to Costco and get slices of pizza and things like that. Yep. So it's been a great career in payroll and HR. Payroll and HR people, they're kind of the lifeblood of organizations. Sometimes don't get a lot of credit. And they're out there trying to provide the best for their employees, their families as well. And so this is a benefit that really goes to not just financial wellness, but really mental wellness. When people are stressed about their finances, it trickles down to so many other things, whether it be at home, having the right attitude at work, how they interact with the employer's clientele. It makes a huge impact. So really excited to speak to you today.
Yeah, it's huge. It's unfortunate. I'm saving this for another recording, but the paycheck to paycheck stat has unfortunately gone up. Forbes and payroll.org recently done a study. It's up to 78% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. And it's scary. It's scary. Mm-hmm. And I think this is right on time for us. And when I first learned about earned wage access, I really thought that it would throw folks off. Like what you said, Aaron, people should be able to budget on this. And I thought, wait a minute, if folks have access to their money, they're going to burn it quicker. But the company I demoed a few years back, they claimed that it was helping their, and I think you guys support this, it's helping their financial wellness, and it was actually helping them stabilize their budgeting. And look, we keep talking about earned wage access. What is this? What is earned wage access? If you guys could define that for us.
Yep, I'll take that one. So really, what it is in simplest form is earned wage access enables employees to access their already earned income prior to payday. So this isn't just based on their schedule. It's just not an estimation. When an employee let's just take an hourly worker. They work their shift 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. When they work that shift, they can access those funds for just life's emergencies. When employees need money, they're going to go somewhere. So whether it be their friends, family, or some of those predatory payday loans, like when you look at industrial places, there's a reason why pawn shops and payday loans are scattered right around that. So they're preying on those employees. Yes. That's what we want to do is rather employees go down that road, just access their money that they have earned, have been paid yet, and they would have used it anyways on payday. A couple other things also puts them in a situation where they're not paying overdraft fees or late fees. I read a Forbes article in 2022 where banks, the line item for overdraft fees and late fees was $22 billion. And that's not a surprise, right? Banks are counting on Americans to be broke. Yes. And we want to break that cycle.
Yep. I've been a big fan of both of those things.
You mentioned that 78%, right? And that we look at data and statistics all the time in our world. And what we see when employees are using earned wage access, they're not using it to go out and buy sneakers or these frivolous purchases. They're literally doing the business there, paying bills, they're buying food, they're using it for transportation. Those are the top three reasons. I think we all remember when COVID hit a few years ago, what was the first thing that the government did to get the economy back on track? It gave people stimulus money, right? It gave them checks, right? That stimulates the economy. It's the flow of funds. And so we see when people are accessing their money, it's really, to Chris's point, it's really giving them this dignity just to say, hey, I don't have to go to a check cashing place, or I don't have to resort to a payday loan or a high interest credit card. I'm just getting the money that I've already earned. And when they do that, they're really just doing the necessities to keep a roof over their head, food on the table. It really is. That 78% that you mentioned, Brian, it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, it's so alarming.
Yeah, if I can speak to something Aaron just said, that employees are using it responsibly, that's really what this industry sees. And I think that's some of the biggest concerns sometimes for employers is they recognize the need, but they're like, shoot, if we give them access, are they going to abuse it? The short answer is no, they do not. And any reputable company that provides earned wage access, they're going to provide some guardrails for those employees, meaning limiting what percentage of their gross pay can they take? What is the total dollar amount can they take in a per pay period? So there are some guardrails there where it gives employees enough for life's emergencies, but also account for maybe the taxes and deductions and those type of things, and where they do not get themselves in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned the predatory loans. I used to do that back in the day when I was young. Yep. I had one of the stats. Again, I'm going to use this news update on our next show, but it's the paycheck to paycheck. And it's funny because one of the stats was that the highest rate of paycheck to paycheck are families with their first child. And then the lowest rate are families with four or more children. So they learned how to budget by that point, or it really said five. But yeah, that's when I had my first kid, and then was just like, oh my gosh. And I used to do these payday loans, and man, if you didn't pay it back on that first it was murder. So, oh man. And then the bank fees too. That's the reason I left Bank of America, because bank back in the day when I was, again, first starting out, new parent, trying to figure all this out, I got hit, and I remember it was like a 38-cent overdraft.
Oh yeah,
that turned into $700 in right. bank fees.
Yeah,
and luckily I got them to waive pretty much all of it. Like, you guys are bugging, I'm not paying $700. Yeah. But that's why I left Bank of America. I was like, no, get out of here. It's predatory. You know what I mean? And the rules have changed since then. So it was predatory. Yeah. Yeah, you guys made me think of these things, man. I wish earned wage access was out back then, because it would have changed the way me and my wife lived at that point.
Yeah. Then we talk about families, but again, what some of us don't think about a lot of times is that single parent household.
Yes.
Right, where they might make, let's say, I don't know, $140,000 annually. That sounds great. Mm-hmm. Unless you're a single parent household living in California, New York.
Or New York.
It's a struggle for people.
And as an employee of a company, right, we're having this conversation here and we're all being vulnerable and talking about our experiences, but it's hard for an employee to go to their employer and say, hey, I might need an advance on my pay. Hey, can you help me here? They don't really. So when Chris and I have these conversations, companies are really saying things like, no one really comes up to us and asks for their money in advance. It's a really delicate conversation. You have all these factors that are impacting their day to day. They don't want to go to payroll or their HR and say, hey, I need some money this pay. The assumption is everyone's doing okay with their bills. And so I think this benefit, again, it really gives them that sort of dignity, right? Where they don't have to, one of the things we want to steer clear of, all the things we all talked about, right? These predatory loans, but people are withdrawing from their 401ks at a higher rate now. Like that money is supposed to be set aside for retirement for your future.
Yes.
They're just taking this just again to make ends meet. So we're trying to combat that as a benefit, and it has been helpful.
Yeah. And Aaron mentioned something there is a lot of employers think employees should be able to manage their finances. Now, I think most Americans are like me. Now, I went to college, but high school, college, I never received any education on finances. It seems crazy. Nope. Seems like that would be a class that you would have growing up probably throughout, but I've never had it. Agreed. I made mistakes. And most Americans, I feel, are probably more in my boat of never having that education.
Yeah.
And that's against you. Again, everything is immediate except for your pay.
And think about it. It's America, right? So a lot of our parents are immigrants. A lot of our parents are, don't know what it is. And we didn't get the instruction. And the kids of those parents, we didn't learn financial wellness. We learned work hard, pay your bills.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that part is missing. And I agreed. It's becoming more of a trend now. Now me and Walt interviewing a lot of folks that are saying financial wellness and mental wellness, and there's a connection, like you guys mentioned. So it's definitely growing now, but it wasn't there for us. So it's definitely a topic that deserves addressing. So now with all that,
honestly,
right?
Hold on, Brian.
Yeah.
I would love, if you two are open to it, and Brian, if you're open to the idea, I would love to have them on the other show as well, because I feel like they can speak directly to the employees. We have the other show, it's about your paycheck. We made that show just to really empower and educate folks. And we say it's the first step in their financial wellness journey. So I think that you two, if you're up to it, we would definitely love to have you on there. Sorry to cut you off, Brian.
No, you didn't cut me off. No, you're good. Yeah, that's a great call out, because we're very, and you might ask, oh, why two shows? It's the same topic. It isn't, right? Because we're talking to employees about on that. And there is no, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with that payroll guy, is Gerard Hall. He put that battery, that's our dude right there. He's about to be on our show in April. We're doing something big with him. And he actually been on a few times, I think. And he put that battery in our back and was like, companies aren't talking to the employees enough. They're not training. They're not teaching. They're not, the customer service piece to the employee isn't there, right? Yeah. There's a huge gap of, like we were talking about earlier, content to the employees, right? Mm-hmm. Because an employer, they might put out some job aids, some stuff that's very pertinent to them and that company and what they want you to do and how they want you to behave. But they're not telling you what deductions are legal in your state. They're not telling you what's allowable. They're not telling you final pay law, terminate when you get terminated, what has to happen if your state governs it a different way. You know what I mean? They're not telling you these things because it's not, it may not be in their best interest for you to be so savvy. That's why we started that show, and our audience, we try to speak directly to the employee. Whereas this show is HR and payroll professionals. We can talk a little different. We can be high level. We can say the lingo and it's a different audience. Right. But yeah, we love, I know it's a time constraint and it can be whenever you guys have time again, but that would be a great thing. Definitely speak to employees. And it's a great segue, Walt, into the next question is like, why would earned wage access be important for companies?
Yeah, so for a couple, Chris, I'll start and you could fill in some context for a couple of reasons, right? Employees are looking now for flexibility in all things, right? The job market, as we know, it's global. It's not just you're working at a company that's down the street, you're working remotely for companies all over the world. So employees are looking for flexibility in things like pay and things like benefits. And so for employers, when they offer this to their employees, it gives them that choice, it gives them that option, but also to the downstream impacts, right? There's a kind of a gamification of pay that goes on. An employee would log a shift, they would clock in, clock out, they see their balance increase over time. What that does is, hey, they start picking up some troublesome shifts, maybe nights or weekends or holidays, right? That employers typically have a hard time filling. Now when their employees see their balance increase, they pick up those shifts. So that's number one, right? You get more employee engagement. Wow. Number two, from a recruiting perspective, right? Like you start advertising work today, get paid today, people really resonate with that, right? You mean, I don't have to be in arrears. I don't have to wait 2 weeks to get my first paycheck. I could work today, clock out, and get my pay right away. That really helps fill up the top of the funnel with recruiting. So you talk about really recruiting, engagement, employee retention. This yes. helps with that from an employer perspective, right? And so yes. for a benefit that's free to offer, right, it's a really a, sort of a high value benefit for them to offer. I think in addition to that, Brian, you touched on this, earned wage access companies help with other things, right? They help with like paper check reduction, right? Because you need a digital form of payment to access your earnings. But also some of those things like termination pay in states like California, where you now you can digitally push a final payment to an employee if need be. So from an employer perspective, there's a lot of downstream impacts that this helps. So it's really like a kind of a feel-good, do-good benefit for all around. Yeah. Chris, I know you've got more to add there.
Yeah, that's good stuff, Aaron. And with that, employers are looking to do more with less. As mentioned, here's a benefit that you could really impact your employees. It costs the employer nothing with that. Also, too, it's a unique benefit that you could quantify and see the ROI. All these employers, they receive the data on how employees are using, how many of the employees are using it. You yes. can see the impact, like Aaron was mentioning, retention, users versus non. There's really no other benefit that you can judge what that impact makes. You're making a guesstimation, but you don't know with that. Also with the employers, I guess I'm a psychology background, so I like to look at it from the psychological, and I mentioned it earlier too, is when you think about some of the most stressful times, it's typically tied to finances. So when you're having yep. tough times at home, yep. a lot of times it's tied to finances. And I know of at least personally for me, when I've had financial trouble, it's hard to let that go at work. It's hard to be the, not everyone can just compartmentalize and be like, okay, I'm at work now. I'm not going to think about finances. It's just, it's in your head. And ultimately employers, as I mentioned earlier, you know, they want those employees to have positive interactions, whether it be with their coworkers, their managers, with their direct consumers with that. A better engaged employee, they're going to be more productive with that.
Also, I think one final add-on I'll add. Employers, they would love to just pay their people a ton of money, right? But that's going to bring them out of business, right? So the fact is you really can't, from an employer perspective, you can't outpace things like inflation. The up right now, gas is $2.50 today. Tomorrow it might be $4. That bag of groceries that they bought was $40, now it's $60. My employer just can't continue to wage. So what they're finding is it's really the timing and the access of the funds that makes all the difference in the world. So all those points that Chris hit on and I mentioned before, in addition, it's a free benefit. So when we have these conversations with employers and folks in payroll and folks in HR, it really is a no-brainer to, let's give this as a financial wellness benefit for our employees.
Yeah, and if I could add something for employers to think about, is this world that we're living in. It's like technology has gotten so fantastic, but this little thing controls so much and it's become everything is right now. Uber, all those things, right? So employees want their money right now.
Yeah.
But I'll give you a quick story of where I really recognize we live in this world of immediacy. As I mentioned earlier, I have 4 kids. I had a garbage disposal go out during the summer. Having the sink available is a big deal in my house.
Oh, yeah.
And I think most Americans. So I had to get that fixed right now. So finally, when I think most people, you call 5 handymen to come out, 1 finally shows up, did the work. And when he was done, he was just like, here's my Venmo, pay me right now, $400. I was like, okay. Yep. I mean, I was fortunate if I had the money. A lot of people would not. But he wanted the money right now because
technology
is set up to right now, right?
Yep.
Yes. And then I started thinking about it. And remember when you'd go to the doctors for something and you would get a bill, the explanation of benefits, and I would tell you how much you owe the doctor. Well, I started thinking about like now when I take my kids or I go to the dentist or anything, they figure out that when I'm standing right there in the office, they're figuring out that calculation. They're like, this is how much you owe.
Yep.
So everything, every service is right now.
Immediate, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing. Yep. It's amazing. And one thing that you said, Chris, you spoke a little bit on employee engagement, and I just found that funny because we just did a show on our other show about employees being engaged. So I just wanted to say that little nugget there and say how earned wage access can impact an employee being engaged.
Absolutely.
Especially when their mind is preoccupied with their bills and stuff going home, those stressful situations that can definitely have a downstream impact on their work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of the HR trend, right? Our HR leader in the last few months recently shared a stat that like the wellness of the employee, you know, it's a driving force, like it impacts their engagement. If they're not financially safe, right? Stable, they can't focus at work. But again, to Aaron's point, you just can't keep up with the wages. You can't just pay them $1 million. You got to find these creative ways. And again, perfect segue. How do companies and professionals, for that matter, educate themselves? Like, where can they go get content on earn wage access? Does your company put out some way? Can you go to the website and read about it? Like,
I'm glad you asked, Brian. Yes. So what we do is that giving employees access to their income is just one pillar towards that path to financial success, right? Is closing that gap between paydays, right? Due dates and paydays don't always line up. So let's get out of that living check to check cycle. But then the next part of it, all these companies provide 401ks, which is fantastic, as they should. But the piece they forget about is some of these employees, they're just not financially set up to contribute to a 401k.
That's right.
Or if it's auto enrollment, then they realize, shoot, I can't afford that. Now I'm going to take money out of the 401k, right? Yeah. We have recognized that. And that's where I'm proud to be at PayActive is we provide that earned wage access, that ability. But we take it a step further. We want to educate the employees. As I mentioned earlier, most employees have never been educated. Yes, some employers might have someone come on site each quarter. Typically, the feedback I get, employees aren't comfortable sitting in that room admitting, yeah, I'm broke, right? Within our platform, we provide financial education in there, tools, budgeting. We put all the bills and your finances into one spot. That's nice. Another thing too is I admit I'm one of those people, sometimes I forget about due dates.
Yep.
I hit a late fee or an overdraft, even though I have money sitting in another account. My wife wants to strangle me. So
same here.
Yep. Keeps them organized with that. And then taking it even a step further, we provide one-on-one financial education at no cost.
Oh, wow. That's so awesome.
So we are a for-profit company, but we are mission-driven. And our goal is, hey, we do a good service to the employers, talk about us. We do right by the employees. They'll talk about us to their coworkers. I don't know, Aaron, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think Chris hit the nail on the head there. And there's a lot of great resources at our website, active.com. Employees and employers can go look there and read their videos and there are certain things. And then I think if an employer wants to look at this more broadly, CHRM and Gartner have done some great research on what earned wage access does for businesses.
Oh, right? Dope.
Studies going back to 2019 or so about this industry and what it can do for employers. So there's a lot of information out there. Programs like this are great from an educational perspective as well. And then Chris and I and the PayActive team, I mean, we're happy to be a resource because you're right, Brian. I think there's always changing regulations and laws around these types of things and employee wages. And so just being up to date on it and just doing your research and your homework on kind of what is best for your company and what's best for your employees. We're happy to be a resource. Our website's a great resource as well.
Awesome. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. All right. So now as we approach the end of this, thank you for this great conversation, guys. We really appreciate it. We have a little game that we'd like to play with our guests, mixing it up for two guests. So that's, if you guys don't mind, you can entertain us here and entertain our listeners a bit. You want to start it off and I'll finish it off?
Yeah, I'll do A and B and you do the last three. All right. No problem. All right. So this game is called You or Them. It's usually this or that, but so it's just going to be putting you against each other. Okay. All right. So who's more likely to ask a tough question at work?
Oh, that's definitely Chris. It's 100%. When we play good cop, bad cop, Chris is the bad cop. The kid has uncomfortable conversations. He does it in a great way, but it's definitely Chris.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Interesting. All right.
I'm working on my delivery, but yeah, it's typically me.
Got you. All right. And then my second question is, who's more likely to buy coworkers lunch?
Aaron, probably.
Aaron. Okay.
Aaron's probably the one that's more top of mind, where I'm in my own world sometimes.
Okay. Let's see. Who would be more likely to travel abroad for PTO?
Oh, Chris has a great, definitely Chris. He's got a great story. I'll let him tell it.
Yeah, it is me. I love to travel internationally. And actually, one of our travels, as I mentioned, wife and four kids, is we went to Costa Rica for a year.
Oh, wow. For a year?
For a year. Yeah. So
how did you pull that off?
I think a lot of people probably watched House Hunters International on HGTV, watching that one day.
Yep.
My wife was like, tempted. We should look into that one day. I thought about it. I was like, no, let's just do it. Sold everything we owned and moved there. Never visited before and just picked up and moved.
Holy
wow.
Yeah, as you can tell, I'm this person where I don't worry about the outcomes a lot of times. I just do it.
No doubt.
I feel like.
I love it. Oh, this is funny. Awesome. All right. Who is more likely to win in a foot race between you two?
Oh, Aaron.
Oh, God.
He probably wouldn't race while I'm still trying to get off the line.
No. Okay. Last one. Let's see. Who's the bigger sports fan here?
Ooh, that's a close one. But I'm gonna have to say Aaron because of the background of his family.
What's the back? Oh, what's that?
My father played 14 years for the New York Giants. I have two older brothers.
Your team, Brian.
Your Super Bowls.
Who's your father?
George Martin. He has a Super Ring. So growing up, I had to be a sports fan or I wouldn't eat or have clothes on my back.
No way.
And I've got two older brothers and we all played football in college. Definitely a football
fan. That's dope, man. Holy cow.
Sports fan, yeah.
That's dope. That's dope. You know what? You guys have, so this was the first time we did this format. And now, and look, let's see. And I fought with Walt in the beginning. I was like, I don't like it. It ain't going to work. And look at the nuggets that we learned through this. So great job, Walt. Good call. And he stood his ground. He's nah, this is good. This is going to work. This is good. Don't worry. It's fine. And I'm like, ah. So thanks for that. That's dope. Oh, man. Look at that. Man, yes, I'm a Giant fan. I got to get my flag somewhere up here now. Man. See, okay. So we end it always with some parting words of advice. What advice would you give? How do we have it? Those just getting started in the game, right? HR, basically, in your world. What advice would you give folks?
I would give are you talking about from a salesperson perspective?
Sure, yeah.
I'll speak from the sales side. Advice I would give working with payroll and HR folks, or really anything that you're doing, is to go into being curious. Meaning, when you meet with payroll HR folks, don't get caught up in what you're trying to sell them. Put your focus on what are their needs, what are their pains? And then from there, you determine together what you have to offer, is it a fit for them? But that's my main advice is go into meetings, be curious, and truly, and really listen.
Yeah, awesome. And I'll just make a conversation just more broadly about just American workers just across the country, right? Don't be afraid to have tough conversations around your finances, right? It's tough to get a hold of. Most people don't realize and understand like how to just budget, how to save for their future. Have conversations with people that you trust, have conversations with your employer, right? Like your money, this is a really important conversation. Again, to Chris's point, this all leads into not only financial wellness, but mental wellness as well. So just have these conversations with your employer or with someone close to you about your finances and just try to get yourself on a good footing. Earned wage access can help, but things like budgeting and talking to a financial advisor, those go a long way as well. So just don't be afraid or don't be ashamed to have those conversations, is what I'd say.
And then Brian, can I add something from the employer perspective?
Absolutely.
Of course.
I would always suggest for payroll and HR folks is to not just go caught up in misconceptions about earned wage access or employee finances. Meet with some providers like us. Meet with a few providers because we're all different. Find what works best for you with that. And then something for to think about is this train is moving with earned wage access. Employees want it. They need it. Really, the decision for employers, are you going to be an early adopter or are you going to be a late? That's really what it is. We're never going to do this. That's not really going to be the case.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you guys for that. This was amazing. You two were amazing guests. You dropped a lot of knowledge for us. We're looking forward to having you on the other show. I'll reach out to both of you to see if we can get that set up because I think to both of your points, we need to empower our fellow Americans, right? We need to empower the employees, and we can do that by educating them and getting them connected with people like you and Chris. And I think, man, what you are both doing is awesome. So keep it up. I'm excited to learn more about you. Thank you for being vulnerable, sharing some of your personal stories with us, and coming on the show, man. You guys are amazing.
All right. So moving to our safe talk portion of this show, and a little different, but it is an employee matter, something that I've seen recently, a lot of time, just current event, right? And the question is really, should someone be fired because of their OnlyFans account or any social media type of thing out there? What do you think, bro?
I think, speaking to the OnlyFans thing, I think people have made choices to do that in order to make more money, in order to survive.
Pay
the bills and stuff like that. And if that's what they decide to do, that's on them. That's their choice. I'm not knocking anybody for the choices that they make. Now, should they be fired for it? I guess it depends for me. Right?
No, that's, I think really that's the right answer. Yeah.
Because one, it could become distracting for your job and coworkers. Yeah. It can. It may cause problems at work for the person who's actually doing it. It may bring about safety issues for them at work, just in case somebody sees something that they like and they're just like, oh, and they're getting harassed at work. It could bring negative attention to the job. Hey, I found out your employee is doing this. What the heck? Especially depending on the company's background or foundation.
What are you doing? Yeah.
Yeah.
What type of business you're in?
If you work for a religious organization
or education organization,
you know what I'm saying? And then they find out that you're doing that could be bad for business. So I think it all depends for me, honestly. That's all I can say about it, honestly.
No, I think you hit all the right points. I think that if it's not on brand with what you're doing already, then like you said, it can cause so many negative distractions and time take everything off brand, really. And I think about us on the flip side of it, right? We've been lucky enough to have leaders that understand that this podcast elevates the brand, right? Yeah. Now, because how could you be mad at your professionals that are taking their career to a new level with this part? And like I say on the show all the time, it's a cheat code for me because this podcast makes me better at my job. My job makes me better at this podcast.
That's exactly the point behind it, right? That's the main thing is we have these guests. We're doing all this information, all this research that we do. Yep. We're learning these new things and these stats are sticking. Stay with us
a lot. Yeah.
We regurgitate those things and say, hey, this percentage of Americans are this percentage of workers are this. And these things are helping us. And it causes me to be more mindful, to be more alert about things, to be more aware. One of my favorite shows, I have tons of favorite shows, but one of my favorite shows was with Sarah from.
How can I say? It really was impactful for you because she's a different level of payroll operations. And it helped you see things differently. It was like, oh, wow. And the vice versa for her, right? She said it was like, wow, it's really good to see the different stages and different company sizes and payrolls and mindsets. Exactly. And she's also an artist. So she can see things in different ways. Very creative. Exactly. So, unfortunately, you're right. The answer is it depends. And you can't be mad at if you get fired because it's not on brand. You still work. Shoot, we're both in the youth world where the companies we support, the leaders that we support are educating children, are enriching children's lives. So it would be very off brand for someone in our organization to have something questionable out there on social media or on OnlyFans. Like that would be an immediate termination in my opinion. Because it's not on brand. You're not elevating the brand at all. You're not in synergy with what you're already doing. So like that's an immediate issue. But if you worked at a bar or a club, it may be different, right? That may be on, if you're an entertainer already, you're a music artist, that might be on brand.
Yeah, maybe we don't know. And we're thinking about it from the company standpoint. And I mentioned it a little bit about the impact that it may have on the individual that's actually doing it from a safety standpoint, harassment standpoint, because you do have those people out there that will see that and be like, oh my God, I gotta have that. I gotta have this person. I gotta do this and stuff like that. And you can put yourself in some dangerous situations.
It's very
by dangerous. Doing that. And
that's like, very dangerous.
Then some people advertise it. Hey, check out my OF page. Do this. Go check it out. And stuff. And so it can cause a lot of potential issues.
Absolutely. I like the fact the danger. I like the danger aspect that people may not be thinking about. You are putting yourselves in the line of fire for predators, this is what my wife teaches our daughters to protect against, these predatory type of behaviors and things like that. Never to put yourself in a dangerous situation, never to be in that role. So yeah, man, it's definitely, and I guess, again, it's such a new issue in the workforce. Right. So it was, and again, it came up recently and I was just like, wow, that's a tough one. You know what I mean? I thought it was a good employee, both employee employer issue that folks aren't as from an HR perspective, this has to be in the handbook. You know what I mean? This has got to be an employee handbook. This has got to address, this got to be, this has got to be something. Yeah. Because it's a new problem. It's a new devil on a new level. And we got
to
address it.
Think about it. It's to your point, and not to drag this out because I know we're about to end it here.
Yeah.
But think about it. To your point, what you said about social media. I've heard of people and I've known some people that have gotten let go because of a post they made on Meta or Facebook or IG, and someone in the company was connected to that person and saw it and did a screenshot. Send an email like, hey, look what so-and-so posted about the job.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. No,
look how vulgar this person was, like, about this, about that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. And again, that I have seen, companies are trying to put that into in policy, into in handbooks. But again, these new things just gets more, it's getting more complicated. And and companies have to keep up and keep addressing that with these new complications, man. Yeah, I thought this was a really good topic to address today, because we usually just throw some softballs out there, but this one was a little bit more complicated and definitely a growing conversation. So thanks for letting us share. Thank you today, sir, for your service. I appreciate you. And until the next time, folks, we love you.
As we near the end of this episode, we'd like to extend our heartfelt gratitude to you for listening. Before we sign off, here are a couple of quick things. Don't forget to follow It's About Payroll on LinkedIn and It's About Your Paycheck on Facebook and TikTok. We love engaging with our audience, and you'll be able to receive exclusive updates and behind the scenes content. Thank you for being a part of our payroll community, and thank you for being a part of this journey with us. Until next time, keep learning, keep growing, and most importantly, keep going.